Hello, Cosmic Explorers. I'm your co-creator, Hillis Pugh, along with
Rebecca Gregory here. Thank you to another edition of Cosmic Insight and for joining us today. And today we have a very special guest joining us, Sig Maneri, the modern monk. And Hillis, tell us a little bit about Sig before we bring him on.
So Sid is one who sparks peace wherever he goes. The warrior within only allows for peace in any space that he enters. Winning, following naturally follows Sid, as Sid transforms every part of his life to the mirror of that divine perfection that he has won. And Sid is just an amazing, beautiful soul that is an international best-selling author and has several life-changing books. He's even won football and life coach who guided NFL players, NBA players, and other successful athletes who live in the game of life. And he even wins at being a warrior monk, a leader on the stage in which he stands. And just meeting and connecting with this beautiful being, I mean, it's just amazing in how he exudes the energy of peace, how he exudes the energy of life and what he stands for. And so, Sid Maneri, it's a pleasure to have you on with us today.
Hey, thank you.
Sid, hey.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yes, and thank you for joining us today, Sid. And so, in connecting with you and really understanding who you are as a soul, as an individual, as you step into the energy of peace everywhere you go, how did this energy of peace really become your platform?
Well, it started with just figuring myself out. You know, when I was a college football coach, I was about winning. I mean, hands down, win it every like that.
Right, exactly. Who wouldn't want to win, right?
Right. And so it wasn't necessarily about peace at that time, you know, so much that there may have been some people that I walked over in order to win. And eventually it got to a point where I was just like, all right, this isn't it. This isn't peace in my body. As I began to practice yoga, I mean, I had already been meditating since I was 8, but in the midst of meditating, I was still learning how to be the athlete and how to be the coach and all those things. And so as in 2008, I went out after going through 2 vision quests before that, I went to sit for my family and my community to have peace, because I started really learning what it was and how to integrate it in my body. In that time, I took on the mission of bringing peace to the world and got my native name or spirit name, He Who Brings Peace. And so here we are since 2008 living into that. And, you know, so I had to go through all the things. I mean, I went through all the pains of the world. My body completely shut down in 2016, where I couldn't walk, couldn't sit up, could barely eat. And so I had to experience that at the last 10 days of 2016. And as I continued to walk into it, just so many different things unfolded, and to where at one point I knew if I didn't hold peace, I'd go back to that same pain. Mm-hmm. So it was like, all right, you're either going to accept it, because I had accepted it and I had to really live it, because it was at a point that it would take me out. And so now it's in my body in a way that it's unshakable. You know, it's just there because I had to go through life to get there. Now, most people, you know, it's like a hornet's nest. A hornet's nest is they're all at peace. You go kick a hornet's nest, you get the hornets. You
know, pretty much.
Right. So, but I'm at peace with that. And that's what's different. You know, I'm at peace with the fact that if I am called to stand, I will stand strong and I'll be at peace with it. So it may be different than most people. You know, I'm not just a monk sitting on the mountain, and every one of those guys are beautiful and women are beautiful that do it. Yet, and that's why in many terms people say, oh, that's the warrior monk, that's the modern monk, because it's different than what people may perceive of the monk. So let's not test it.
Yeah, you know those Shaolin monks are no joke.
Oh, yes. But isn't it just a different way of expression? I love that, you know, all about that point of view on what we, the image we put as a monk, but however we could be a monk just like you as the modern monk is the same as a monk sitting on the thing. It's all about that inner expression, and that inner peace inside is the outer expression to the world.
For sure. I mean, I went through, I like to look at, you know, when I was younger, I played Dungeons and Dragons. I was either in sports or I was also trying to hang with my friends and play Dungeons and Dragons, rolling the dice, being a character. And I was a character. And so I had this moment of really getting clear on the stages for me and what those archetypes looked like. And it was really like, okay, at one point I was a seeker. I was really looking for how to bring peace into my life. And then I became a warrior that stood in it almost to a fault, you know, in some ways. Like, you know, I haven't drank in 17 years. So in the beginning of really embodying that, I didn't even want to be around people that drank, because it really was rubbing up against me, right? It had nothing to do with them. And then I had to go into this whole monk phase of being almost the polar opposite of everything I've ever been, which also put me almost in like a victim space, because it was like, oh, I've got to sit here and I'll just take everybody's stuff, almost like I put myself in purgatory. And then I moved into this fourth stage in that way, where it's like the warrior monk, which was, okay, I can see the divine in everything. It's okay for me to be the warrior and the monk when it's appropriate. And at the same time, moving forward in the evolution almost to the mastery of it is the warrior or the modern monk. And so that's kind of how, it, in my mind, that's how it works through.
Oh, beautiful.
I love that. Honor the path in which you have taken, because as you stepped into the space of expression of this, what I was allowed to see was the space of awareness of each movement. It's as if you are witnessing yourself in the body. With, for example, with Tai Chi, you're witnessing and feeling every movement and understanding the freedom or the constraints of each movement, allowing you to say, how am I going to express myself in this space, or what's needed to be expressed in this space? And so with this level of awareness, how are you now really beginning to apply it into your everyday life? Because peace now on the planet is a choice. I mean, some people can either have peace and sit in the energy of peace while chaos is happening around them, while someone says, well, how can you be so happy? How can you be have so much peace with all this madness happening around you? So and I know a lot of people want to know, how does one sit in peace, especially with everything that's happening right now?
Well, I know that peace is an inside job, right? Like, so it's what's lying inside of me. And I also know that the more I hold that space, no matter where I go, the space around me begins to come into that. I love meditating with a candle. And generally when I first sit down with the candle's like moving with everything. And when I get to that stillness, all of a sudden the candle just goes whoosh, and just comes into that balanced place. And to me, that happens the same way when I walk into chaos. So it's, I choose to stay here in those moments to bring everything back to what's possible. Because you're either at peace or you're not. And everybody knows when they're not. And very few know when they are. And so when I'm at peace, I have the opportunity to access love. Without peace, there is no love. Peace is the foundation that gives me access to everything love, and everything below that line, because I look at peace as kind of like the foundation, the stream of wellness that's there. And when there is no peace, it's an illusion, and you're dropping below that. It's almost like in Christianity, they call it heaven and hell. You know, so heaven being love, God's love, agape love, And then there's peace, like me being in balance, that gives me access to God's agape love. And then when I lose peace, most people know they don't have to go too far to figure out hell's right here on earth if you want it to be. Right? Mm-hmm. And so getting back there and holding that, that's my mission for myself that happens to help everybody else too.
Beautiful. I know I always like to look at it, you know, being in the clarity with the chaos and standing in that space and in your truth and in that love and in that peace as everything can swirl around you and being in that state. But going back from like your journey, I'd like if you could bring forth maybe a little word of wisdom of somebody who's maybe right now really struggling, maybe with their body or what's going on, maybe an illness or something like that, to move. You know, because I know we all take that on and we create that in ourselves. And a lot of people don't realize sometimes that is part of your journey is to have whatever experience you've brought forth. So do you have any recommendations for anybody that might be really be in a point of struggling and not knowing where to go, what to do, on what step to take to maybe help spiral themselves out of that, to move into that peace and that balance within themselves?
Well, I'd say the first thing for anyone that's looking to bring, whether it's the first glimpse of peace or more peace into their life, is that make that commitment to peace. You know, for me, I was committed to winning, which meant if it looked like peace or winning, I went for the win. Like mm-hmm. it wasn't even a question, because the fury on a football field when it comes to winning may not always look like peace to everybody else. So I was okay with that. And so when my life was in a place of chaos, I was choosing the chaos. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first thing for anybody to me is committing to peace on a way that says, okay, when something comes up, I'm going to choose peace. I deal with athletes all the time. That one thing I love about working with athletes is they are committed to being the best that they can be. And now when I finally get them and it's like, okay, now that you know that I can help you win, now what if you won with peace? Like, and you won in your life, and that commitment then is like, okay, I don't need to teach you anything else, because if I'm choosing to win at life and win in peace with life, then going to get drunk until I'm oblivious. That's not the same. I'm making choices. And everyone's doing that right now. People are making unconscious choices that are mm-hmm. against going to peace that takes them to love. So arguing with your wife or your spouse or arguing at work or being in conflict, that doesn't even come up for me because I'm choosing peace. Like it really comes down to that commitment. So in many ways, I look at it like I'm a disciple of peace. I have the discipline mm-hmm. to stay with the discipleship discipline. I'm so disciplined in it that it's like, all right, peace is my power, and I'm going to let that power guide me through life. It's taken me to every step thus far, and it's taken me even further because I'm just choosing that. Like, I've been through health issues. I've been through it all. Like they said, you want to be this level of peace for the world, you're going to experience everything the world experiences. That's the only way you can really stay in something and teach it, right, is being the experience. So in that sense, it was like, okay, now how are you going to deal with this? You're down to 10% of your eyesight. How are you going to get it back? And I had to look at that, like really say, okay, what am I doing here in my life that I chose to be here? Like that, the second thing is like, make the commitment, hold yourself accountable. Like I had to hold myself accountable to the fact that now I go to the doctor when they're thinking about doing eye surgery. And he says, actually, they can't do eye surgery because your A1C, if anyone knows what that is, your A1C is how they measure diabetes. And mine was 17. On the chart, it stops at 11. Mine was 17. And they're like, dude, this is dangerous. And I'm like, no, it's not. I just need you to tell me what I had. And now I'll be back. And no, I'm not taking your insulin. I'm not taking your metformin. I am going to do this myself. And I moved my blood sugar 150 points in less than 24 hours. I did that, not on anything that they did. And then the next thing was, okay, wow, this is amazing. I guess you know what you're doing. We'll see you in 6 months. 6 months later, they're like, dang, your your A1C is a 7. And then they're like, okay, we're going to stop recommending anything. And and the doctor was like, all right, can you talk to me a little bit? Because he had type 2 diabetes. He's like, how'd you do this? And I'm like, first of all, then I started looking at the whole picture. And here's the whole picture. Why is someone that hasn't cured it for themselves telling everybody else what to do? Look at that. Like, that's like, poof. Like, really, like, why are doctors that are experiencing the pain teaching someone how to get out of the pain? They don't know. And so, like, really saying, okay, I was just meeting with someone today who's experiencing Parkinson's. And mm-hmm. I was like, look, I've never had Parkinson's. And God willing, I'm going to stay in this level of peace and stay clear of that, right? So let's look at who can we find that has been in it and made their way out of it? Because that's the ones we want to emulate. Like the people exactly. that we can't go ask the leaders of a world that is not at peace to lead us to peace. Because if they could, they already would. But they can't do it because that's where they are. And so when I look at all these things, it's like, all right, commitment, accountability, and then go live it. You know, and that's how it shows up for me.
Yeah, you know, and you just, well, two things. You touched something in me personally that I'm in the midst of that I'm not going to express at this moment, but when the time comes, everyone will know. But then what you just said about how can a world full of chaos, you know, with all this stuff lead to peace? And I'm like, it's like, that's a good thought for people to really sit with, because I mean, bottom line, I mean, let's just be real, you know, bottom line, profit, and who's profiting from the chaos? You know, who's profiting from people being sick? Who's profiting from all of this other stuff when everyone, and I know we're only like a couple of months away, but everyone's like, oh, I want to live in a world of kumbaya, peace, love, and happiness. Oh, you know all the cliche things that we begin to hear around this time of year. You know, it's real. But, you know, in all honesty, what do people, the powers that be, really want? You know, and I'll just leave that to you to answer.
Well, I mean, I want peace in my house. When you come to my house, you can notice you feel peace. It's because that's what I want. Now, if I am running a country and I want peace in my country and there's the majority of the country not at peace, I don't really want peace. I want peace for maybe for myself, if that, because I don't really know what some of their lives look like. Some of the lives don't look like peace. So that's not even true for themselves. And maybe it's just, it sounds good. You know, when I look at a lot of this, it's like, all right, when I see somebody saying they want something, all I got to do is look around. Like, I appreciate some people that put out these toxic messages because they're at least standing in authenticity of what they're saying, right? Now, we as people get to choose if we want to consume it or not. Mm-hmm. But I have to take on accountability that the only reason these things continue is because I'm allowing it. So even if I think it, oh, well, I can't really have an effect. Yes, you can. Like almost every person I know has some form of social media, like some form. So, and most people have, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody on social media late, unless they just joined like Clubhouse, with less than 100 people. So they can impact that 100 people instantly. Well, what are they doing to impact them based on what they say they want? Are they showing pictures of and speaking to all their problems in their life? Okay, then that's what you want. That's truly what you want. You want more of those problems because you're talking about them all the time. If I want peace, I'm talking about peace. If I want love, I'm talking about love. I'm committed to those things. And I think that's a big point for people is like, all right, no one needs to judge anybody else. Take a step back, look at what you want. And I would say that even the most dark racist person, because racism seems to be a weird one we continue to play with, right? And if you look at them, they'd say, oh, I want a world for me with my people. No, you don't, because your people are human beings. Like, the commitment is not to your people, it's to maybe a sect, a small group of your people. And it's probably not even the whole group of your people, because most of them aren't even following that rhetoric. A lot of these people with these interesting messages, you can tell how many people want to be around it, because most of them don't have very many people. And if they do have a lot of people, that lot of people is like a few thousand. It isn't the world. So if the message is really worth having, I think people will come without us even needing to advertise it.
You know, exactly.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that. I really do believe that. And, you know, I love what you're saying. I love what you're hearing. And I hear, you know, the main thing that it's coming to me around this is, you know, we all need to take responsibility for us and ourselves and what we truly desire in this world. And I love what you brought in about, you know, the peace and what we see in the world and what we want in this world. And, you know, bringing up the racism and all that. And I think that does stem where leaders and people that really want peace for everything, they have to expand out past their group and open up to that peace, to want that for everyone, not just their core group, and break down those walls that have been built up so huge around every individual group. Like, every individual group out there needs healing within themselves to want that for humanity, not just the individual group. Do you agree?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I just had, you know, with all the stuff that I'm doing, they just created basically a Wikipedia page on Wikidia. And they first went through and they found, oh, this is what Sid is, right? Like, all these different nationalities. And I looked at it and my brother was like, hey, man, you know, they just put all this stuff up in you. And I was like, for real? And so I went and looked at it and I said, hey, take it all down and put I'm human. Like, I'm standing for that. Like, I can't say I'm about everybody if I'm not really about everybody. And so I had to go through it with them. And I said, look, we're going to keep talking about this. And eventually you're going to take me off of your stuff until you make it human. And they were like, oh, well, I got to go ask these people. Okay, well, go ask them. You want me to stay? Go ask them. And now it says human, because that's it. Like, I really want to stand for each and every person on this planet, and standing for the people on the planet, like, in that level of stance.
Yeah.
I then also stand for the trees. I stand for the water, because it's affecting all humans too. So yeah. I don't need to look at those things any more than that. If I just get big enough in my bigger picture, and we don't have a big picture. That's why everyone has to have small, separate ways of putting things in places, because it's really one earth.
Yep.
You know, that's it.
Exactly. You know, and this is triggering up something in me, you know, as growing up in urban areas and living in urban settings, and, you know, and we talk about peace so much in our existence, and how we talk about we want love, we want peace. But then you look at it in the urban settings, or in just in the world in general, that there's all this violence, all this chaos, you know, people taken from other people, you know, just silly robberies and break-ins and all these unnecessary things. And what always comes back to my mind is that if these people have the simple basics, the simple necessities to have a life, it wouldn't be this violence, this chaos. And then it also comes into my mind is, well, we have to get through chaos to get to peace. So my question to you is, do you believe that everything that's happening now has to happen for us to get to peace, for us to really understand chaos? We have to now understand what peace is. So it's almost like a balancing act here with that.
Well, I would say that Does it have to? No, nothing has to. Nothing is always, nothing has to be. I've never seen it. I haven't run into anything that has to be. There's people that are called breatharians that live off of breath. Mm-hmm. I'd sat on the mountains 4 days, 3 nights without food or water. So the things that some people say have to, typically they don't. I'm not sure that I could live without breathing, yet I'm not sure either. I'm not 100% sure that I couldn't get to a state where my body says we're good and I don't have to breathe. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure on that. And I'm not testing it, and I'm okay with that.
that's the case. You're going to go into full transition mode. You're just like, okay, goodbye. I'm done with this planet. See you in on the other side. I mean, come on. I mean,
it might be. It might be the case, but it might also be that, who knows? Like, maybe we actually we're created in the likeness of everything on this planet. Mm-hmm. So maybe we could be underwater without breathing. I don't know.
That's an interesting concept if you think about it.
It is, right. but you spoke something. See, and this is how fast my
let me answer your question real quick. Let me get back to that because I don't want people to miss on this, on the peace part. Do we have to have chaos? Yeah. No. No, because especially now that at least I can say for myself, I know what peace is and I know why I want it. So does everybody else have to suffer now? No. Jesus came. And if people that believe in Jesus, that follow that, then stop it. Because Jesus came to stop that. Mm-hmm. If we're going to claim to believe in Jesus, then it's time to start living differently. Without somebody needing to tell us what to do, it's already been told. So in that sense, no, we don't have to suffer. And the people that are in environments where peace is not as available, for me, that's part of my mission is to raise up consciousness so that peace is available there. Like, and you know, there was an experiment once done in Compton. They walked down the street and they took care of the one side of the street. They painted the houses. They put in new shrubbery. They trimmed the edges of the grass. People walking by got so tired of looking at it, they cleaned up their own side of the street. So if that can be done, then if we wanted it, we would do it.
Yeah.
And that's where, for me, like, it's like, okay, do we need to go to war for these things?
Mm-mm.
No. we could spend the same amount of money, not even near, and make sure everybody's in the house. When I was coaching in Morgan State University, Don Hill used to be really adamant about, if we don't take care of these kids, they'll be the ones sticking us up on the street corner later. Well, it's the same thing. It's happening on a grander scale than the kids we brought out of juvie halls to come do football camp. We got to take care of everybody. Like that, I see that for sure. It's time to take care of everyone. And I've yet to see anybody that you take them a chocolate cake, the first thing they do is throw it in your face. Right? That doesn't happen. So let's see how we can take everybody a chocolate cake without it being full of sugar.
I love that.
There's a lot of messages
there. I love that message. Exactly. And just real quick, I just want to, and then Rebecca, you can say your thing, but the thing about the whole breatharian thing, everyone and everything breathes. Plants breathe, the water breathes, everything breathes. So, I mean,
They breathe, but they don't breathe like we breathe, right?
How do they breathe?
I mean, but my skin's breathing.
Yeah, exactly. Like the trees, they breathe through the leaves. And so it's all this whole exchange of energy, this exchange of oxygen, this exchange of air. So we all need each other. We all coexist. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, but yeah, you have me thinking deep on that. I like that.
Yeah.
If you close your mouth and you just feel into your body, you can breathe through your body and still breathe.
Yeah, I do it in altered states, but we're not going to get into that right now.
I'm sitting here breathing without breathing right now. I'm practicing that. So I'm gonna.
Can you feel it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like as my body expands and moves, like as if I'm breathing without breathing.
Without breathing.
I'm up here.
Mm hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying right now.
Yeah.
If you're watching this, guys, wherever you are, pause in this moment and breathe without breathing. You know, just for all y'all who are watching, I mean, it's just really amazing experience to try. I mean,
it's all about that beautiful expression of who we are and that energy and that flow and that connection of who we are and expanding out and into that, you know. And I love this conversation today and everyone talking, and what's really coming to me is like, you know, in that space of peace, we have to all move in to co-creating this world together.
Yeah.
In that immersion of that peace and people understanding that we need to start to stand in that space and live in that peace and open that, expand that out to bring that what we truly desire and not what I feel a lot of people have been conditioned. I think a lot, I always say hope to me is honoring our personal evolution. So, you know, giving that hope that people know they can move out of that conditioning of that. You talk about that desire and of not being a piece of bringing the wars in and bringing all that. I feel if we can all shift that and stand in that space of peace, having that hope to know that each individual person can make a change to create a change for everyone.
Yeah, and I'll add to that, it has nothing to do with everybody else. Because mm-hmm. I think so often when that conversation comes up, a lot of people will say, well, Johnny down the street's not going to do it, so why should I do it? It's not about Johnny.
No.
Like, it's about if you, me, or Hillis gets there on top of the mountain, people will come to the top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go there ourselves. And that's that's what I've been committed to doing, is finding that level of peace for me that says to someone else, oh, I want it too. I mean, I see it. I see it with my family. All the things. I mean, I used to be a lot tighter as a person for many different reasons. I'm not going to get into all the reasons. Yet I used to operate quick to win the moment. And winning the moment was peace looked like I'm at peace. Like, don't mess with my peace. Like, I'm just going to win. You know, sit down, kid. Let's do this, blah, blah, blah. When really that wasn't peace. I was pouring in more chaos, even into me. And so I think it's, for me, it's just I have to step into this. Now, I can recruit others into it, too. And as I recruit others, then we can stand together. And then it gets stronger and stronger. So I think there's, when I look at things, I'm always looking at, all right, what's the benefit from this? Because there's benefits from everything. Everything was put here by the creator that loves everything.
Yeah.
So even my darkest moments took me to a place that says I'm here. Now it's up to me to choose to stay here.
Exactly. You know, and what I find interesting is that your commitment to this, the level of commitment that you have to really establishing peace within yourself and then in your surroundings and have it ripple out from you. And I believe it shows up in one of your books called The Playbook of Peace. And can you talk about that for us just a little bit?
Yeah, well, the playbook for peace is coming. And that's my new book that's coming out. And there's an introductory book, which is The Path to Peace. And so there's 333 words of peace. There's just ways that I can choose to live my life in that way, whether it's meditating. The more I meditate, I've been meditating since I was 8. So the more I meditate, the more my mind isn't just reacting to everything. There's all these different things that I can choose to put as tools in my personal tool bag to enhance my way of peace. So when it comes to the playbook for peace, it's literally chapters to help everyone find 100% peace for themselves, you know, to really. And then from there, when I'm at 100% peace, which I am, it's easy for me to walk into a moment and see someone and say, oh, I already see you. I have compassion for you because I've been there myself. I've seen it. Yeah. I'm not at war with you because I'm okay seeing and being with the person I'm with. And it's like, oh, let me breathe this in. I'm going to shift it to peace in me and I'm going to breathe it out in love. And if I've done that on a strong enough way, the other person will meet me there too.
Beautiful. So Sid, what is your vision of the world in peace?
My vision of the world in peace is everyone is already
for president. No.
My vision of the world at peace is everyone has committed to living in utopia.
Yeah.
And now, let's say millions of years from now, if someone wants to leave that utopia when everyone is living in it, they will honor that person and help them come back to utopia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I love that because I know friends who have experienced euphoria. And sometimes it gets to a space to where it feels unreal, you know, because of everything that is experienced right now on the planet and everything that's happening in their internal space. And it's interesting because when they go back to the old life, you know, things that they used to do, certain behaviors, and then when they step into the space of total surrender and wanting to have that euphoria back, it's beautiful to see them walk that path because it's like, you know, I was already here, but then I got distracted with my life because something else was a little bit easier. And so in that space of allowing it to be easy, you come back into the path of peace. And I know that in the beginning of the show, you talked about what you call unshakable peace. And can you define for us a little bit more of what that unshakable peace is for you and how someone can do one thing today to get on that path?
Well, unshakable peace is a practice. You know, it isn't like a lot of people would think that means that if something's coming at me that maybe feels like harm or fear, I just dissolve that and forget it and disregard it. Like I was out surfing and a shark bumped me. My peace was like, oh, I'm okay. And when I told my wife there was a shark in the water, she's like, okay, do you think we should get out? Yeah, we probably should. Let's just go ahead and get out, even though it's probably not going to do anything. Actually, I think it was gone at this point. And so it's like that. It's like, just because I'm in my space of unshakable peace doesn't mean that things won't come at me. And for me, it's almost like I'm playing a game, the spirit of the game, and the game is life. And the win is me keeping my peace and being in space. That doesn't mean that for me, what it means is, if something comes at me that says I have to step in a way that someone may perceive it as not peace, I'm gonna hold my peace in that. Like it's gonna be okay. Fortunately, that what I know is, and this is what I continue to go back to in my mind, I know that I attract what I am. Mm-hmm. So I make sure that my thoughts are clear because that's what I want to bring forward. Even if some people might be like, well, I love my horror flicks, right? Now, do you want to live that horror flick? Probably not. So if I'm watching something like that, I'm making sure my brain knows this isn't what you want to repeat to keep bringing it to me. Like, I know that because no matter who it is out there watching this, everything comes from a thought. That's something I always ask people when I first start to work with them. Do you know the power of your thoughts? And a lot of times people say yes, or some people say no. And I'm like, well, if you don't know, your thoughts are so powerful that nothing in your reality can be done or is happening without a thought. Anyone that's watching this, if they don't believe it, turn off your lights and don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen. Now, something else may turn off your lights, like, you know, we may lose power or something like that. Yet the truth is, you can only experience what you've already thought about.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like the experience, change your thoughts.
Exactly.
I love
sometimes I watch crazy shows just for information gathering, just to kind of see what's going on.
Shut off that everybody else, people were watching The Purge like it was water, right? So I'm like, nah, y'all can talk about this being something that's coming into the world, but I'm gonna already put it out that nope, this is peace. There's not gonna be a purge in my life. Like,
oh yeah,
no purge in my life, except for I did sell all of my belongings and hit the road. I purged that stuff. But there ain't gonna be the Purge, the movie.
Oh, I don't watch that. I don't watch that stuff. I don't like horror stuff. I'm just talking, you know, my cop shows and stuff. It's interesting to me, like those kind of shows, just watching the content and the different, you know, just from before and all the different subjects that are coming up and the how you can see a shift in the mindful and I don't know. It's just a beautiful to kind of watch some of these shows and the real deeper messages that are actually starting to come through of shifting the consciousness in that way. So that's, you know, it's kind of interesting to see what's coming out there.
I mean, everybody has a beautiful mind.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen that movie, go watch it. And I'm a big movie person. Why? Because when I first saw Star Wars, none of that stuff was in my life back in the 80s. All that stuff is here because it put it in so many people's thought pattern. Now, it took me 10 years to write this movie. And in the midst of writing this movie, I made sure that we erase some of the stereotypes. Mm-hmm. The father was in the person's life, all types of stuff. You know, that the, because most people have been focused in on things that aren't the only way. But because they look like the only way or the majority way, that's what's in people's lives. But it's not truth. Like, I know 100%. I don't know about Hillis, but my father was in my life. His father was in his life. I've been in my boys' lives and my daughter's, even though she moved with her mom to Florida. So the stereotypes are not always truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I refuse to live in those truths that don't serve my highest good.
Exactly.
And so, Sid, if there is anything that you want to leave our audience with, one tangible piece of advice, what would that be?
Commit to peace right now. Right now, where you are. If you haven't yet, commit to peace. Start living it so much and watch what happens. And if nothing happens, if someone can commit to peace and sit in peace for a week, 100% in peace, contact me and we'll figure out what's going on because there's something's wrong. Something's off. And I'll spend time with that person to figure out, all right, what's off in your neighborhood that you don't have peace?
Yeah.
Beautiful. And how do people contact you? Huh?
No, you took the words right out of my mouth.
I know. I do that. We do that to each other sometimes.
Well, there it is right there. People can go to artofpeacefulliving.com or sidmcnary.com and can find Sid McNary on pretty much every social media platform. And there's a lot of things coming forward and really want to bring power to the people. Like, and I know that's an old saying, right? That's an old saying, power to the people. I'm saying all people, like to humans, to everyone.
And it's a kind of power. It's power through peace.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Peace is the power to live by.
So is there anything else going on in your world that you'd like to share with before we move on today or anything, any events or anything coming up you'd like to?
Yeah, we've got a lot
out there.
We have a retreat. I love taking people to Nicaragua. First, I've started going to meet with
somebody's interest over there.
And so taking people there to defy the thoughts that aren't real, you know, their people's opinions of what is there, and find that place of what's real. You know, if you're looking for peace, go find it. Like, let go of the idea that you can't, because you can do anything. So much that it's time for new leadership in this world, or the leadership that's there to behave in a new way. And that's what it is. So I'm ready for it and stepping into it. And I will say, one day people will say, we need Sid to lead the country, and I'll do it. That's what it'll be.
Sounds good, Sid. Got my vote.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Oh, Sid, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your art of peaceful living and your just your knowledge and your wisdom and the presence of who you are and spreading that out into the world, which is so needed right now. I thank you and honor you for that. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sid. We honor you, and we'll look forward to all the newness that is coming from you. We'll love to have you back on to keep our guest, our audience updated with you. And so everyone who's watching, thank you for tuning in this week to another episode of Cosmic Insight. Be sure to tune in every week, Friday night, 6 p.m. Eastern, for our live show, because you never know what's going to happen. But exactly. We can guarantee that you will get your tune up.
Exactly. You know you love that tune. And remember, don't limit yourself. Create yourself. Be the change in you. Thank you, everyone. Until next time.
Mwah.